This is CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Good afternoon, everybody listening to Future CEOs. My name is Tlhubi Mboya-Arnold, and it's so good to be back on the station. It's so good to be back on radio. Yes, everyone, I know it's the end of the year and I'm feeling a bit rugged and tired, but this is a show that should lift those spirits, lift those attitudes, and give you a banging sensation to the end of a strong 2017. Yes, I know that whether you are in a small startup or really on your way to becoming a future CEO, this is the show which gives you the tools, the mentorship, the skills, the advice, the great experts to allow you to fast track your career to being a global sensation, an African superstar in your business. Without any further ado, I love having women on the show, and everyone who listens to the show knows that. Not because we're hardcore feminists, but we're the different kind of feminists. You know, it's not about the exclusion of men. It's about the inclusion of women in every single space in society, especially those spaces that I like to define as disruptive, especially the spaces which I like to hashtag women in tech. So without any further ado, Arlene Mulder, the co-founder of hashtag, well, for me, We Think Code, but that's a business that she started, and it's unique and it's interesting and it's inspirational. And of course, she's a graduate of the EO, Entrepreneurs Organization Accelerator Program. Hi, Arlene.
Hi, it's so amazing to be here with you.
You know what? I'm so excited to have you here because, I think that, as we said, just stepping into the show, women just need to see their reflection in other people's lives, especially when it's careers that are not pretty and pink and strawberries and cream, something really against the norm. Tell us who you are and a little bit about your background.
Sure. Oh, and I couldn't agree more with you. Sometimes we just need that little bit of confidence to be brave and to take crazy leaps of faith.
I know.
Thank you so much for having me. It's awesome to be here. As I told you, I feel like I'm just this normal girl from Pretoria.
With that beautiful voice.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. When I was in primary school, my Afrikaans teacher, she told me, "You're going to be on radio one day. So maybe I should come join your show."
Tell us more about who you are, beautiful woman.
So I started off by studying actuarial science. So I actually did a master's degree in business, mathematics, and informatics.
Amen.
Sometimes I feel like I'm such a nerd, but I've always loved math, solving problems, and technology and coding. After that, I then joined Rand Merchant Bank. I joined the graduate program for 2 years. I built all the credit risk rating models. It was very cool. I learned so much.
Wow.
And then for 5 years, I worked in the M&A team as a deal maker, which was incredible because you got to work with CEOs of the largest companies.
Wow.
You got to sit and you got to listen to how do they strategize about their business and what are the corporate action and the strategies that they would like to implement for their business.
Is that at the EO?
No, that was at RMB.
At RMB, okay.
At
fantastic.
RMB.
Okay.
So that was an amazing experience. I kind of think I worked really hard. Mm. And as we, you know, it's kind of the theme that we're going to discuss today as well. But even there, I was one of the only female deal makers. So in a way, I felt like I had to work much harder than everyone else. And to be honest, I actually don't even think society puts us in these boxes. I think we put ourselves in these boxes. So that's what I want to encourage young women out there to not do that. But anyway, I did that. I guess on the one hand, it made me work really hard. And you know, that 10,000 hour rule that they say.
Amen.
It probably got me there quite a lot faster, but it was incredible. I learned a lot, but then there was just this feeling inside of me. I know it sounds ridiculous, but that I want to do something more. And I've always been really passionate about education and obviously about technology and about mathematics and kind of how can you use tech to solve problems and just grow whatever it is exponentially. That's always excited me so much. And I think what I've always loved is if someone says to me it's impossible, it can't be done.
You're like,
then I want to solve that. So all of these things kind of came together during the last year that I was at RMB. I saw more and more that all the CEOs and business leaders that we were dealing with and advising, they were all going, okay, we're going through this digital revolution. Some had strategies, some didn't. And they were quite scared because, I mean, the future is quite unknown. For the first time now, the future changes every day. Mm. And that, just that rate of change, it's quite scary. And now, all of a sudden, you need different kind of people to work for you.
Correct.
You need tech skills. And we can go into the whole coding side now, but also just saying tech or coding. I mean, it's so broad. What does it mean?
What is that? Let's just define tech and coding. What,
it's hard to define.
In your own words.
I would say that technology gives you the power to design and create anything. But, you know, to say I can code, it's a kind of saying I can read. Okay, but do you read comic books? Do you read poetry? Or do you read quantum physics books? They're all reading. They're all unique and incredible in their own way, but they're all very different. So are you a front-end UX person? Or are you a Unity game developer?
Wow.
Or are you into security? Are you into machine learning? Wow. It's so broad. Okay. But I would say, if you can code, no matter which way or which discipline you go into, you've got the superpower.
Amen.
And you've got the superpower to whatever idea you can think about, you can actually create it.
You know what? Correct me if I stand wrong, but I think the Rwandan currency, a paper has got kids coding on the actual currency. That's how revolutionary coding has become in Africa, you know, and how
exactly.
The importance of it, Arlene.
And as you often see, we're going sidetrack now, but as you often see what happens, you know, also if people say Africa, it's so broad, but what you often see happening is that we leapfrog technology. So instead of just going to landlines, everyone went to the mobile phone. So there's a lot of examples like that. And I truly believe that coding could be that. So we will just leapfrog. And this is what we think code is all about. We're saying that, are you born to code? Were you born with this aptitude? Doesn't matter what you've studied before. Doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter financially whether you can pay for tuition or not. It's free to all students. But you might be born with this incredible aptitude. And coding today is a skill that you can learn quite quickly.
Really?
So our course is 2 years. Mm-hmm. So within 2 years, you could go from not even having a matric to being a rock star, amazing coder that can build anything.
And listen, so coding can be used in any size and shape and form within your business, Arlene?
Absolutely.
Any kind of business.
Any kind of business. I mean, think of the Cliff Central app.
Correct.
Someone has to build that.
Correct.
The only reason you can listen to us now is because of software engineers.
Correct.
Even in the music industry. There's incredible things being done through software engineering. Think of virtual reality. I was at this really cool company 2 weeks ago, and they work for the mining industry. I mean, did you think of that? I mean, now you wear VR headset and you go up a mine shaft, and it actually tests if you're afraid of heights.
Girl, I can see this interview can go on for so long,
yes.
But I know you're a busy woman. So let's get back to your entrepreneurial journey. Okay, so you've studied all these things, especially the financial sector, working closely, learning, being mentored by big CEOs. When did the choice and decision to leave the great financial sector and maybe the corporate world and start your own business?
What pivoted that? What happened?
So,
I think it wasn't just like an overnight thing. It was something that was coming quite a while. And at a stage, just everything converged. So the education side, the tech side, and the timing was ideal. And then I met my co-founder. So her name is Camille. She's from France. And long story short, we were drinking wine one night. And
yes,
we
please.
Had absolutely.
As one does.
And long story short, we just said, she told me about this incredible school in Paris called Ecole 42 that we've partnered with. And we just said, we need to bring this to South Africa.
So is it a reflection or a mirror of Ecole 42 is what we think code is?
So our content, our curriculum, the way that our students learn is a mirror of 42, but our business model, and we've also added some life skills and coding for success. So we've added quite a few things, but the actual way of learning with no teachers, no classes, that we got from 42. Okay. So then when I met Camille and she's told me about the school, and we just said, you know, we just clicked and we said, we need to start this in South Africa. And then I realized, and I had this thing in my head, I promised myself that I was going to resign before I turned 30. I don't know why, but I, sometimes you've got to give yourself just that deadline.
I know.
And I realized also, if I don't quit my job, I'm not going to do this.
I know.
And you know what happened? The day I quit my job, then I needed to step up. I needed to, now I was responsible for my decision. Now I felt like I need to make this work. First of all, I think, so someone said to me once, it's like, it's burning your boats. You can't go back. So if you go out to sea, you burn the little boats, you can't go back. So the day I resigned and I said I was going to start this, then I had to start this. So my advice to young people out there thinking about should I do it or not, just start. But then also kind of take that leap of faith so that you've got something on risk, because then you are really motivated, and give yourself some deadlines. So we said we're going to open January 2016. That was our deadline and we announced it. So we had to make that deadline. I mean, some people work better with it or not, but my advice and in my life, this is what really helped me, is to say, okay, here's the deadline. We've got to do it, and to really take that leap of faith. And you asked now about, you know, it's hard. In the beginning, I didn't have confidence in myself. I was like, well, what do I know? I felt like I can joke because my hair looks different now, but we were these two blonde girls under 30 and we're like, what do we know about starting a tech school? But you know, it was quite scary, and we can talk now about the EO Accelerator, but I think one of the things it really taught us, and Camille and I, we were on this program together, which is amazing, and I think it just helped us a little bit, give us that little bit of boost and just that little bit of confidence. And, you know, there's quite a famous TED talk that I like, and they talk about, we teach our boys to be brave and our girls to be perfect.
I've seen that TED talk.
So we're scared to take that leap sometimes. We're scared we're going to fail. We're scared we're not going to be perfect.
Before we talk about We Think Codes, tell us about the experiences, especially, you know, in the industry, the financial sector that you were in prior to starting We Think Codes. Tell us about the situations or experiences in a male-dominated sector, in a male-dominated industry, and just a bit of lessons that you learned actually which gave you a thick skin to start and maintain a leadership quality and a position in We Think Codes.
You know, it's difficult, and I look back now, and I was quite young when I started there, so probably I would do certain things differently, but I must say the lessons I learned was invaluable. But, you know, the one thing I'll say is it's not that companies don't want – the companies actually want women there, but it's difficult. And like I said, we're scared to take risks sometimes. Guys are much more prone to just jump in. And in a place like investment banking with deal making, which is, you know, it's hectic. I think guys are just more, okay, let me take a chance and I'll just see if it happens. So there are very few women who actually put their hand up and say that they want to do this. That's the first thing. Then the second thing is, and I'm so sorry to say this, but it is true. You know, I'd walk into a boardroom and they'd be like, oh, what are you doing here? You know, and that's why I felt, so I went and I prepared 10 times more.
10 times
and I
harder.
Made sure that I was on top of my game. But you know what? If you do that and if you set your boundaries, it's all about boundaries. If someone starts to make a joke with you or start to want to be inappropriate, you know, it's not that they're a bad person. It's just you, and it's actually your own responsibility. You need to set those boundaries and you need to make sure that it stays professional. And you know what? Once you've set that boundary, then it's great.
You teach
then it's there.
You know what? Professional relationships are everything, and you have to be right. And you teach people how to treat you.
Absolutely.
What I want to really want to touch base on, we'll come back to We Think Code, because there's so much I want to unpack and unravel, especially where you see yourself with We Think Code in a couple of years' time, and where you see it and what's your dream for it. But I know you wouldn't have been where you are in this present moment without the Entrepreneurs Organizer Accelerator program. Yes or no?
Yeah, it's an incredible experience. I think the best thing about it is, you know, when you're on the entrepreneurial journey, and even me with my co-founder, Camille, we were in this whole journey together, but it's quite lonely. And you feel like I'm the only person going through this. And then joining something like EO Accelerator, you realize, okay, I'm not the only person going through this. And it's just, so how it works is there's accountability groups or forum. So once a month, it's a group of people coming together. Everything is, it's completely confidential.
Oh, really?
And you are encouraged, and almost you have to share the top five, bottom and highs and lows of your life and the things that you would not share with anyone else.
Wow.
And it's a safe environment where you can share those things. So you can share the worst things or the best things that you're going through that you cannot necessarily share with your friends or even your own partner. Mm. But here's a group of people who understand, who goes through the same thing and who are there to just kind of encourage you.
As well. So for those of you who really don't know much about the Entrepreneurs Organization, so here's a little bit of snippet that I just want to read to you. So according to a recent study, 86% of startup businesses in SA fail within their first year because entrepreneurs lack the relevant information and financial management skills to run a successful enterprise. There are many stumbling blocks that exist and factors such as finance, skills, access to local and international markets, education, and the right network needs to be addressed to ensure that SA entrepreneurs are able to grow and thrive. Did you get all of that at the Entrepreneurs Organization?
Yeah, so the accelerator is amazing because you have these learning days. So, for example, one of them is a finance day. And I was lucky because I came from a finance background.
Correct.
But most entrepreneurs are not. Mm. And I must say in this one session, and these are successful entrepreneurs because to get into the accelerator, your business has to make more than $250,000. So these are already successful businesses.
They desire this kind of information.
But you know, most of these entrepreneurs, they did not know the difference between an income statement, a balance sheet, and a cash flow. They did not know. So that's where the accelerator program and the learning days are so great because, and you know what? You can learn those things fairly quickly and easily. So within a day, some of the people change their cash conversion ratios completely just changing one small thing. So it just gives you that little edge and it gives you access to amazing people. And then those accountability groups, because you know, sometimes we also need that. And there's a lot of principles in here, but you're not allowed to give advice. You're just allowed to share your stories.
Okay.
But you know, you sharing your story with your peers in your forum, you are accountable and they don't say anything to you. But you know, if you come with the same issue every month, you're gonna feel like, okay, I need to address this.
I need to step my game up. So where are the EOs located? So is there one in Cape Town? I presume obviously you were in Johannesburg and did this.
Yes. So there's a Joburg and Cape Town's just opening their accelerator program now, first week of November.
Wow.
So I think the applications are still open for Cape Town Accelerator.
Okay.
And then once you grad, so the point of Accelerator is to help you to scale your business to the $1 million level.
We all want that.
We all want that, right?
We all want that.
So once you reach the $1 million level, you can join EO. So I've now graduated into EO. Which is awesome.
EO graduate, baby.
Exactly.
Wow. That's great.
And EO has chapters in Cape Town, Joburg and Durban.
Women-male ratio, black-white ratio, what's going on there?
So I don't know all the stats for the other chapters, but in Cape Town, we are only 5 women out of about 60 members. So we are actually the women of EO. We're doing a little bit of a drive to also encourage women, because I think what also happens is women out there see EO as this boys club. It's not. It's really not the case. But people see it that way. So we just want to show that it's not the case. And I want to tell you a story because, you know, sometimes people go, oh, we have our B quota or we have our female quota and they feel like they have to fill it. But it's not the same here. So in the forums I've explained to you, the guys fight to have women in their forum because
they know it adds
so much value.
Correct. They know the potential that it brings, you know. Let's go back. So you're starting up with Encode. Give us a hard learned lesson before you went to that had to do that really broke your sense of confidence with being an entrepreneur, had a sense of failure. Give us a little anecdote.
Oh, there's so many.
But obviously we like, as future CEOs, lessons learned and solutions.
No, absolutely. You know what? Actually, the first thing that I'd like to share is if you really, and you know, it's not passion. Passion fades. If you believe in what you do, so if you have this conviction, so in our case, it is We believe that there are incredibly talented people out there and we want to help them unlock their potential.
The South African high potential.
I know. But it's quite important because if you have that belief and conviction, then no matter what happens, you're going to get up the next day and you're not going to quit because you're not just going to leave it. I've often said if we were selling shoes or coffee, I would be out, but not really, but you know, you feel that you have those low days. And, you know, sometimes things are just not happening and you're used to things happening quickly in today's life. Like everything is instant. Now you have to sign a contract with a big corporate and their legal team is just taking weeks and weeks and months to get back to you. And you know, the deal has been agreed, but you need the paperwork and your board says to you, no, you can't sign your lease until the paperwork is done. And it's a very tricky situation. So this is one of my low points. So we needed to open our campus. And I know the deal is signed or agreed, but it's not signed on paper and I need to sign my lease and we need expansion and we need equipment. And then, you know, you have to deal with all of this and you've got students coming and, but then it's difficult because it's not in your hands. And there's a lot of external factors like that. So that's for me, the hardest things that are not in my hands. You know, you wait for external parties and then you speak to one person and the next and they say, yes, yes, tomorrow, but it's not tomorrow. So I've learned to factor in also a lot of additional time. Whenever people say it's going to take this long, just double it. But then if you have that conviction in what you're doing, you know, you're going to have your low days, but it's going to be okay. And you're just going to see what – you're going to remind yourself this is what you do and you're going to deal with it and it's going to be fine.
What would you define as characteristics of being – a leader of an organization and a leader of something which you describe yourself as revolutionary, Arlene?
So I think what's extremely important for us is the culture and the values. And, you know, I feel like people throw those words around very easily. And especially today, everyone's now focusing on that and they say, oh yeah, our values are so important. But you know what? You can write those values on the wall or in a piece of paper, but you need to love them. And they're not always easy, you know, cause I just said you're going to have your low days. And as a leader, even in those low days, you've got to love your values. And that's hard because you need to kind of leave your personal and your emotional and your stuff aside. But for me, if I think of myself and my, oh, it's hard, then I'm not at my best. If I turn it around and kind of think, oh, you know, I've got this responsibility. This is our business. This is our team. This is our students. As soon as I focus on that, then it's much easier for me to focus on the goal and where we're going.
You know, we kind of empower ourselves and each other by reading leadership and business books. And I know you're a book lover. What books that you read about business or about leadership and what you've learned through the journey of We Think Code that they didn't teach you in those books?
Yeah.
That was self-taught. That was your life action and motion.
There's all these books and they're great. And
I know.
I love to read them, but you
what
know,
don't they teach you?
I think it's that. It's like, it's a lot of responsibility. You know, it sounds so glamorous to be an entrepreneur. I feel it's like
it's the word of the day.
It is
the word of the day, babe.
But you know what? Like, it's not easy. And it's not for everyone. And that's okay. And, you know, the hardest thing for me, okay, now you start your business. It's like your baby. It's like it's everything. And I think a mistake that we make, and I'm kind of in that mistake, is you start defining yourself also about your business. And one of the things that I'm learning now is also sometimes when you scale, often you are now the bottleneck. So you need to let go of some things. And you know, sometimes when you scale a business, maybe as a founder, maybe you're not the right person to lead the organization anymore. Maybe you're not the right person to be the CEO, but that's extremely hard because most of our entrepreneurial A-types like to control everything and
mine.
Exactly. Yeah. And, I won't say it. Well, I guess I need to be honest, but I want everything to be perfect and I'm absolutely, but you know what? You can't do everything yourself. You need to let go and you know, everyone tells you how important your team is. you know, but no matter how much people tell you that or how much you read about it or how to find A players, you can read about it until your face gets blue, but it's hard. And you know what? It's not just there are good people and bad people and A players and not. It doesn't work like that. It is who fits into your team with your personality, with the other people, with your values, with your culture. And that is hard. And in a weird way, that's actually our business. We're trying to find talent and the most amazing talent, help them to unlock their potential and then place them at corporates.
Oh, wow.
And if you take the different banks, so we've got FNB, RMB, Investec, but they're also different. So who fits best? And yeah.
Let's touch base a little bit on We Think Code. So it's university.
Yes.
Tell us more. .. Ellipse. I leave it in your hands.
So okay, very quick elevator pitch. Yeah. So there's three things that make us different.
Yeah.
So we are a software engineering university, but first of all, we are aiming to democratize education. Free to all students. You don't even need matric to apply. You don't need to know anything about coding. You play three games to apply. 17 to 35 years old. That is the only criteria. So open to anyone to apply.
You said your campus was in the CBD here in Johannesburg.
Yes, CBD okay. Joburg.
Tell us more about that, yeah?
So we across the road from the Joburg Library.
Lovely.
In the heart of the CBD.
Stunning.
It's awesome to be there. I feel like that's
that
the real
energy?
Joke.
How's that energy?
Amazing.
Stimulate.
You need to come visit.
I know. Stimuli.
It's awesome.
Okay, tell us more, yeah?
And then the second thing
A tuition-free tech university.
Completely tuition-free to students.
Mm.
So the second thing is we've got no teachers, no classes.
Mm.
So it's completely different to the traditional university model. So we've revolutionized the way that education works. It's much more like a work environment. I mean, you come in, you have a computer, you log on to one of our 320 iMacs.
Excuse us. Yes.
And you learn from your peers. But if you think about the future, the skills of the future, where are we going? So first of all, what our students learn is how to solve problems. Coding is the tool. It's not like you're there to learn to code. You're there to learn how
That's
to solve
amazing.
Problems
That's
and how do I use coding as a tool to solve problems.
Mm.
And then secondly, you learn how to learn new things. I mean, the tech world, it changes every day. If you're so stuck into, oh no, I can just learn Java, that's all I can do for the rest of my life, you might be fine for the next year or two. And then what if it changes?
You being like such a mathematician, how do you feel about, our school kids and the mathematical pass rate being so low? What do you think of that in our future? What does that mean for
I'm
us?
I'm very worried about that.
What does that mean to you?
You know, but it's interesting because I don't think necessarily those kids don't have the ability, perhaps.
Yeah, obviously, yeah.
It is, well, I mean, we all know, but the biggest problem for me is our teachers. We don't have enough teachers. We don't have teachers who are skilled enough.
Mm.
And then students fall behind, especially with mathematics, because it builds on, so if you fall behind in grade 3, then you're missing a building block. So then it's very difficult to move to the next level if you don't have those basics.
Mm.
So, you know what? What is exciting to me is all these initiatives that I see. So
okay.
there's a foundation called the Click Foundation, for example. So they teach kids how to read, and they're also now going into mathematics as well. So they use technology and they use computers to enable that leapfrog with, okay, we don't have enough teachers, so how do we use technology to train more students? There's a lot of ed tech startups that's also using amazing things like AI and asking you questions and
Stunning.
Establishing your level and tailoring. And this is a big thing, tailoring the learning experience to the individual.
To the individual. So, I mean, I know the CBD, so that really attracts, you know, the scholars from probably disadvantaged backgrounds, you know what I mean? And I think I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, is that where you want to see We Think Code, you know what, in places where but it can empower and uplift, you know, people in disadvantaged communities?
Absolutely. But we don't just focus on that.
I
so
know.
When you apply, we don't even ask race, for example, because we want to make it, but you know what, we've got amazing people in this country. We've got 4 million unemployed young people. 4 million. That is scary. So we want to tap into the best talent. And by definition, unfortunately, how our country is structured at the moment, most of the young people in our country is disadvantaged. So absolutely, we want to go. And you know what? Let's say advantaged young people have the opportunity to go to university or even study abroad. So they already have options available to them. But it's not to say we have some kids went to private schools. That's awesome, because that mixture and that diversity is absolutely amazing. But what we do is we partner with organizations such as Harambee to help us to access those communities. We've also partnered with Africa Tikkun to set up some testing days.
I know very well Africa Tikkun.
Yeah, it's amazing. So they've got computer labs in Alex and Soweto and Diffson. So we obviously put a lot of effort into reaching those communities as well, because just by the nature of how things are structured, they don't often have access to opportunities. But you know, if you think about it from, obviously we've got a massive social mission, but if you think of it about this from a business point of view, grade ones who start, only 1% of them end up with a degree. So, and the third thing that I wanted to talk about is our business model. So
please do.
Just by the nature of that fact, corporates can only access 1% of the country's talent, because normally they require you to have a degree. So what we're saying is we have now access to a whole different talent pool. So we can find raw talent that no one else currently tapping into.
That high potential.
And this is where our business model comes in. So all our students study for free, no matter what your background. And
but how are you making money?
Our customers are corporates. So FNB, for example, says we want 20 students. We need software engineers. And now the brilliant thing is banks like that, now I've said, okay, we'll take students without matric. That is a massive thing.
I know, such a shift.
So then they say, okay, we will pay you per student, and they pay us up front. So cash flow wise, this is amazing. It enables us to buy all the equipment and offer the best possible education to our students. And then what happens is our students go first of all through the online test and second of all through our boot camps. Then they join us for 2 years, but they do 8 months with us, then they go do a 4 month internship. And this is the other amazing thing about the corporates.
Very extremely thorough, babe. I like that.
And they give their own time and expertise, and they train our students while they're studying. Then they come back second year, 8 months, 4 months, so 2 years, and then the corporates offer a job to our students.
Excellent. So it's a winning formula.
We believe so.
It's a winning formula.
We believe
I have to ask you, where do you see We Think Code? Because, okay, so it's been running 3 years, 2 years?
Well, we started 2.5 years ago, but we opened our doors January 2016, so just over a year and a half.
And that's CBD in Johannesburg?
CBD Johannesburg. So next up is a new campus in Cape Town, but we've got just over 300 students currently in Joburg.
Wow.
And we are already busy with our boot camp for 2018.
Wow.
Boot camp started on Monday. We have a next one in November, another one in January. So we'll take in another 200 students in Joburg next year, and then 120 in Cape Town.
I am so impressed. I've got goosebumps. And so far, are you getting the goals in there? Is there a good? Come on, Arlene.
Not enough.
I know, there's
I'm
never
not
enough.
Happy, but we went in our first year, we had 6%, second year, 13%. So we've doubled our girls. Percentage-wise, which is amazing. We've got 32 awesome rock star female coders in the making at the moment.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, again, I've done a lot of research on this, and I think there are a couple of reasons why we're not getting so many girls. So I think the first thing is they think it's boring. They think it is you sit in a basement and you work on a printer. It's not sexy and innovative and creative, which is exactly what it is. It is
extremely innovative.
Extremely.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is they see it as a man's world. And quite honestly, today it still is a little bit, but we're going to change that.
We are running out of time. Can you believe it?
No,
listen, I know you're busy. You're going to be late for your next interview, but I don't care. If your CEO's rocks.
It's fine.
Are you happy?
I love being here.
Yes.
Love being here.
Okay, honey, we have to wrap it up. Okay, firstly, I want you to make a public announcement that we will be invited to the next boot camp of We Think Code.
Absolutely.
Future CEOs.
Your invite is sent.
Future CEOs will be there, and we really.
Amazing.
You know what? There's nothing better than disruptors. We really love that. And thinking outside the box, and I know you're a firm believer of that, and owning your uniqueness and individuality. I don't know. And you believe that with hard work and being unique, things just happen to fall in place.
Absolutely.
Yes? Okay. So to the entrepreneurs or future CEOs, no matter where they are, are the entrepreneurial journey. What's the best advice you've ever received?
Best advice is just stay true to your true north. So be okay with who you are. You know, for me, I've never fit into any boxes. You know, Afrikaans girl from Pretoria, I was supposed to be married at 26 and have kids and, you know, but it's okay if you don't fit into boxes. It's okay if you're different. It's okay if you have these crazy ideas, but be true to yourself. You know, people know when you're faking it. Life is much easier if you're just yourself and okay with that.
I know you're a lover of books. You sometimes read 3 books at a time. I know you love to mountain bike. You like to trail run. What does you time, me time mean to Arlene? What's me time?
Oh, that's such a good question. I'm trying to get more me time.
Aren't we all?
But you know, I'm really trying to make more time for the things that I love, because in doing that, I actually do my job much better. So I do love to cycle. I love mountain biking. Yay. And the nice thing is you can't do anything else while you're doing that. So you can't be on your phone. And just being outside in nature, I love that. And it's kind of, you know, that's kind of my meditation in a way, because I'm out in nature, on my bike. That's really great. And I do love reading. And
what's the book? What's your favorite book that you're reading at the moment?
What I'm reading at the moment is Machine Learning, a book that I bought at MIT. So that's quite boring. I'm loving it.
We'll follow you on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle?
It's at Arlene Mulder.
And Think Code at?
At We Think Code.
At We Think Code. Okay, so favorite book is
So hard to say. When I was growing up, I was 16 years old and I read The Alchemist, and it changed my life at 16.
We believe you. We believe you.
Through the years, I would say that it would change, but I think I should post on Twitter all the favorite books that I'm reading.
Do that and tag us, tag Future CEOs.
I can't wait. I'll definitely do that.
And our Twitter handle, for those of you who are listening, is at Future_CEOs. Okay, last question before we round up today's fantastic show. And I'll definitely have her back, because we'll be at that boot camp of We Think Code. Arlene Mulder, founder of We Think Code and graduate of Entrepreneurial Organization Accelerator Program. What would you say to the 18-year-old you about your entrepreneurial journey?
I would say start sooner and be brave, be bold. Don't be scared to make mistakes. Don't be scared to not be perfect, and just go for it.
In the words of Arlene Mulder, founder of We Think Code and Entrepreneurial Organization Accelerator Journey, this is another quote I'm taking and I'm stealing from her. It'll be on our website, future-ceos.com. It is not easy to go against the mainstream, but if you remain true to yourself and your true north, then things strangely fall into place. That's Future CEOs. I had a fantastic time. It's so great to be back in studio and to be motivated and inspired and just earth-shattering, disruptive behavior of like-minded women who want to make positive change in big and small ways to better South Africa. Thank you so much. My name is Lubim Boyer Arnold, and you're listening to Future CEOs.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.